Quick lesson in BC election math. Along with the official counting of votes, I would like to offer another example of election math. A simple equation. Start with the MLA elect from Surrey South, Brent Chapman, who has referred to Palestinians as inbred, and thinks U.S. school shooting were staged. Add Sharon Hartwell from Bulkley Valley Stikine, who, according to media reports, has supported calls for Canada to withdraw from the United Nations and the World Health Organization and falsely stated that former U.S. President Donald Trump won the last American election. She also repeatedly praised organizers of the Freedom Convoy, which gridlocked downtown Ottawa for a month in early 2022, and has called for the firing of Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry. Add Conservative candidate Marina Sapozhnikov in the Juan de Fuca-Malahat riding, who was quoted as saying that BC's adoption of the UN Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples Act renders every non-Indigenous British Columbian a second-rate citizen, and said that 90% of Indigenous people use drugs. She also said that historically, Indigenous people were savages. What does that equal? A leader, John Rusted, who is clearly out of his depth and not ready to govern. Andrew Koster, Sonich. Define reconciliation so we understand. BC Conservative candidate uses racist slur for Indigenous peoples in interview, October 26. Comments like those of Marina Sapozhnikov can make sensational news. But a more constructive area of discussion might be to define reconciliation. What exactly is it? Who gets to define it? Who gets to decide how, if ever, it can be achieved? Greg Klein, Nanaimo. And another one bites the dust. One more of several of John Rusted's conservative running mates utters another inappropriate commentary. Like a magnet attracts lead fillings, sadly the BC Conservative Party attracts these kinds of people. These are not the kind of folks I want stepping within 1 foot of the legislature. More concerning is the fact that Rusted only makes an apology for their outrageous statements but never removes them, leaving one to wonder to what extent he holds concealed views and opinions of the same nature. John Stevenson, Victoria. Ethical principles are being ignored. If Conservative leader John Rusted were a legitimate leader, he would remove Juan de Fuca-Malahat candidate Marina Sapozhnikov for her racist views and comments. He won't, so he isn't. He is simply an opportunist at the expense of ethical principles to justify the end of basking in power. Cal Robertson, Fairfield. Savagery continues in many forms. So, Conservative Marina Sapozhnikov thinks that Indigenous peoples were savages in the past. I don't profess to know the answer to that statement, but survival takes many forms, violence being one of them. How unsavage were past cultures? How unsavage was colonialism, or for that matter, any culture invading another? And savagery sadly continues to this day, masked in hubris, arrogance, and hatred. You need only look to the Middle East or the Sudan to witness the savagery perpetuated in the name of fill in the blank. It beggars belief that somehow we are more mature and less savage today. Tell that to the children of the world. Robin Krause, Souk. Here's a review of European history. So Marina Sapozhnikov believes that before Europeans came to North America, First Nations peoples were savages who fought each other all the time, the implication being that it was Europeans who civilized them. Who were these wonderfully civilized Europeans, I wonder? The ones who hanged witches and burned Joan of Arc at the stake? The ones who perfected torture during the Spanish Inquisition? The ones who deliberately infected Indigenous people with deadly diseases? The ones who fought a war that lasted 100 years? We won't talk about such modern civilized episodes as the Holocaust or the Srebrenica massacre. Perhaps Sapozhnikov might want to take a history course. Giselle Bourgeois Law, Oak Bay. There were savages. The new arrivals. Regarding Marina Sapozhnikov's comment about savages, the only savages at that time were the white demons who took over the continent. Polly Burke, Duncan, Doctor survived pressure over 1918 pandemic. 3. Pushback. How a Victoria doctor saved his city from 1918 flu despite overwhelming pressure, October 27. Interesting and informative dissertation about how Victoria Health Officer Dr. Arthur Price did the right thing in 1918 to save lives despite the similar pressures from religious and business interests that Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry faced doing the same thing. Damn good thing there weren't people like John Rusted around threatening to fire Price for his efforts and heroics. It strains reality to understand how a public figure can grandstand on wanting to fire someone for having the wisdom and fortitude to carry out a pandemic plan designed to save an entire province from a certain health disaster. Shame on Rusted and any of his followers who would parrot this incredible nonsense. Please let us hope that he nor similar small-minded candidates ever get to positions of power. They clearly have demonstrated they are unfit. Kevin Hardy, Nanaimo. Don't blame China for the 1918 pandemic. Unfortunately, the very eye-opening, educational, pushback excerpt of October 27 also contained a thinly veiled racist, unproven theory that China was the source of the 1918-1920 influenza pandemic. The best identified source of the pandemic, so far, was a Midwest U.S. Army base. Not Chinese laborers on sealed trains crossing Canada. These trains began operating well before the influenza struck Canada. And they ran back west well after the pandemic abated due to public health efforts championed by Dr. Arthur Price. These trains have not been linked to the pandemic. There is documentary evidence that Canadian soldiers conscripted, recruited in Montreal for the Canadian Siberian Expeditionary Force being assembled in Victoria were taken off their westbound trains and placed in quarantine in Calgary suffering from influenza symptoms in September. Did these Canadian soldiers bring the Spanish flu to Victoria? It certainly struck the encampment at Willow's Beach before the soldiers left for Siberia in December. Leave the China virus conspiracies to the modern stew of online fantasies, demagoguery and bogeymen. Stephen Ryback, Galliano Island. Mandates work during pandemics. People who are anti-mandate during pandemics should take a look at the numbers. A 2022 study from Johns Hopkins University shows the COVID mortality rate in the United States was almost exactly 3 times the rate in Canada. The lower mortality rate in Canada can be attributed to many factors, including higher vaccination rates and health mandates regarding closures. This 3-to-1 ratio is virtually identical to the 1918 Spanish flu mortality rate in Vancouver versus that in Victoria, as per the October 27 article, The Price Factor. While Victoria mandated public closures, Vancouver remained open. History repeats itself. COVID is still with us and will not be the last pandemic to come our way. Responsible politicians should take heed. Michael Shepard, Victoria. Money for addicts but not for seniors. Victoria can find $1.8 million in annual operating funds, plus a one-time $300,000 grant, for Solid Outreach Society to operate an access hub for drug addicts on Dowler Place. Meanwhile, it cannot find $50,000 in annual operating funds to offset the extra costs incurred by Silver Threads Society to provide services for seniors in non-city-owned premises. That's after the city evicted Silver Threads from city-owned and maintained premises more THNN 10 years ago. At the time, Silver Threads was assured this was a very temporary move until Crystal Pool was rebuilt with program space for Silver Threads. Of course, we're all still waiting for that new Crystal Pool. The extra costs of operating in commercial space have been borne by Silver Threads ever since its eviction from city premises. This has meant less money available for programs. Since 1956, Silver Threads has provided a wide variety of important services to Victoria seniors on a non-profit basis. Still, they continue to be penalized year after year in the city budget process because of a move forced on them by the city in the first place. By the same politicians who can suddenly come up with over $2 million in funding for drug addicts. It makes no sense. Brian Mason, Victoria, taxpayers on hook for all the protests. What has been the cost to Victoria taxpayers this year for police security and traffic control for the ongoing Palestinian protests? The mayor has recently spoke about tax increases for 2025 and the increase in police budget. These protests and the costs accrued at the university are unacceptable to taxpayers as well. That encampment should have been dismantled early on. By allowing the protesters to stay just emboldened them. For a small city, activism is off the charts. Kathy Potter, Victoria, make school safety a top priority. It appears that the Greater Victoria School Board, in its wisdom, has decided not to take child safety as a priority for the district. They apparently want proof of harm? Well, how about a few decades of parental observation and actual help by this program, for which I am forever grateful? I saw firsthand the amazing energy and sense of fun that occurred when the police liaison officers arrived to connect with children both in their elementary and high school experiences. As a parent volunteer over the years, this interaction created continuity through the community, and when an incident arose, this touchstone proved invaluable. Now with my grandchildren in middle school, I lament the absence of these amazing officers and their ability to help make these connections. Can we please rely on the Minister of Education and the Premier to oversee the reinstatement of this much-needed and vital program? My gratitude to all this who had my children's best interest at heart. You are heroes. Joan Pink, Victoria, a simple courtesy with four-way flashers. 3. Four-ways great modern safety feature, October 25th. A one-time tap on the four-way flashers as a thank-you gesture to a fellow traveler for a driving courtesy can bring a smile to the faces of both drivers. Notice how BC Transit drivers often thank you by hand or four-way flashers. Common courtesy. Simple. Christopher Costin, Victoria, send U.S. your letters, email letters to letters@timescolonist.com, mail letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tai Road, Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.